Purim. Okay, we have only one day left. We didn't spend all that much time on Yom Kippur. We spent a lot of time on Rosh Hashanah. Let's try to hop around one day to learn about Yom HaKippurim. Last week we began discussing some ideas, some different themes. Let's continue where we left off. We were in the middle of discussing the theme of Teshuvah. There's a very big problem, very big problem with our tefillos. The Rambam paskins, in order for a person to become the mitzvah, the arise of Teshuvah, he has to do three things. Aziva sachet, he has to stop doing the avera. That is number one. If a person is nichshol in certain types of averas, let's say non-kosher food, so the first thing is stop eating the non-kosher food. The next thing is he has to have charata. He has to express remorse for what he has done. And the third condition of the Rambam, the Rambam holds this as critical to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, is he has to formally accept upon himself, bedibur, with words, that he will not do this avera ever again. Kabbalah al he'osit. The problem is that in the Nusach HaTfilah, kimat nowhere in Yom HaKippurim, Erev Yom Kippur, even in the Slichos, do we ever explicitly say that we accept upon ourselves that we will never do this avera ever again?
I think we say it in
the... It's a Yehi Ratzon. There are...
Hataras Nedarim.
No. Hataras Nedarim is not about averas. Hataras Nedarim is about vows to do good things. To do mitzvahs, to do certain customs. It's not about averas. I'm not familiar.
But you can say all day long if you're not going to do nothing with the Mitzahara Hitcher 3 months later.
Okay, but so that's 3 months later. Right now, you have to sincerely accept upon yourself, I'll do my very best never to do this avera again. If a person does not say that, if a person does not accept upon himself, according to the Rambam, it must be a formal acceptance. A person must explicitly say, I accept upon myself, I will never ever do this avera again. Nowhere in the Nusach HaTfilah do we explicitly say, I accept upon myself, I will never do this avera again.
No, we bang, yeah? So we do ask for Siyata Dishmaya to help.
Oh, so there is a Yehi Ratzon. Maybe if we have your Yom Kippur Machzor? Maybe even the Siddur has it. The Siddur actually, I don't even know the Machzor, even the Siddur has it. So it depends on the Nusach
HaTfilah.
Shalom, that's the Nusach Sart, right? Only Nusach Sart.
What?
I don't think Nusach Ashkenaz, you know? Shalom Echet Ha'od. Mashach Atasi Lefonech Morek Berachamecha Horadim. That's only Nusach Sart. Here I have Nusach Sart. Here is. V'satzileini miyetzu harav v'sein b'libi hachno'o v'anova malkeinu v'lokeinu yached shimcha b'oylamecha b'nei ircha yaseid b'esecha v'shachlel heicholecha v'chulu v'chulu. No. Here it is.
You have it in that little...
Okay, but it's not explicit. No, if you know, right. let's even put aside Yom HaKippur. Many people who daven Nusach Sfart. The davenus of svarin, every single day mincha, they say vidui. Ashamdu, boganu, gozalnu, those who davenus of svarin. If you daven in the place where they say tachnon, and you nus of svarin, you say vidui, you say elokeinu, vayavar Hashem alpona, vayikra. You don't say in the vidui that you recite on a regular weekday by mincha, a kabbalah al ha'osid, I will never do the aver again. You don't say it. It's not in the nusach. And Yom HaKippurim, maybe you'll find in one of the Hirat signs, it alludes to it. There are certain parts in the Ilah, you have to, and depending upon your Nusach, and some people have additions, they add in the Hirat signs, and there in the Hirat signs, you may find it snuck in secretly an expression which seems to say, Hashem, I'm never going to do the Avera again. Or what we talk to say, I don't remember exactly where it is where you ask Hashem for help. Please help me in giving me the moral strength not to do the Avera again. But you don't actually say, even in the best of our Yehi Ratzon, you don't actually state the Pemole, I will never do this Avera again. And according to the Rambam, it would appear at face value, you do not fulfill the mitzvah, the Oraisa of Teshuvah, without that formal declaration of Kabbalah al-Heosid.
Is that a vow?
What?
Is it a vow or a promise?
Whatever it is, not necessarily a vow. It's not a shvu. It's not a promise. But at least it's a firm commitment.
Resolution.
A resolution, commitment, whatever you want to say. But there has to be something there, and we do not even have that. The best that you're going to find in the nusach is a tefillah, Hashem. You know, I'm not really in control. I can't control my Yetzirah. It's in control of me. I just sit in the back seat and I let the Yetzirah take me where it wants to go. Maybe you, Hashem, you know, you can make a traffic jam. You can put some red lights up, some stop signs, send the cop to prevent the Yetzirah from taking me where I should not go. That does not fulfill what the Rambam requires one to do to fulfill the mitzvah, the oraisa of doing teshuvah. So the question is, my high, how could it be that the mitzvah, what is the mitzvah of Yom HaKippurim? Is it the fast? Okay, yes, of course, that's a deraisa, v'nisim es nafshoy seichem, but we know that the ikar purpose of the inui is to do the mitzvah of teshuvah. So where then is there teshuvah? Yeah?
I think he's even goes further. I read someplace that he says the real teshuvah person achieves when he said everything this and he finds himself in the situation which he can do the same thing and he didn't do it.
Well, that's mechila. That is when Hashem formally forgives the person. Uh-huh. When the person is in the same situation he was before. Be'oisei makayim, be'oisei isha. So the whole thing has to be exactly the way it happened, and he did not repeat the aveir. That's where Hashem forgives him. But to do teshuvah, you don't need forgiveness. The person is bevak, does teshuvah, even if Hashem does not forgive him, he fulfills the mitzvah derais of last week's parsha of doing teshuvah. So this is a question to which there really is no answer. How do you like that? No answer. The only thing, what do the Mefarshim tell us? They tell us that We can't do it. We can't really fulfill the mitzvah. Chazal could not wholesale or compose a nusach in tefillah where every individual is going to say, I will never do this avera again. Because it's not true. It's sheker. We all know, for Gans Klal Yisrael to say in the nusach of Yom HaKippurim, Hashem, Chatosi, Avisi, Poshati, that we can do. We can easily acknowledge our wrongdoings. I've done every aver in the book. I acknowledge it.
It's in the past. It's not in the future.
Right, exactly. We can. That's also a madrega. That's also Chazal. Also, we're making quite a request for a person to express remorse. How do you express remorse? By the way, I was speaking to someone on Shabbos, so he said to me, why do all of the commentators only focus on the issue of the Kabbalah? Where is the Charata? There are three parts to teshuvah according to the Rambam. Number one is aziva sachet. I have abandoned the sin. I'm no longer doing the avera. Number two, charata. I regret. I have regret. Number three, I will never do it again. Now aziva sachet. The truth is, we assume you're not going to do. You stop what you're doing. You stop the avera. Now, what about charata? Reciting the words chotasi, avisi, poshati, and enumerating all the various sins in the alchet shechotanu lefonecha ba'oineis u'ratzim, and we enumerate many, many sins, that is not a charata. That's nothing more than just a record. It's an acknowledgement. Okay, I pull out the record. Oh, here, I did all of these averes. So what? Just because you acknowledge that you've done Naveira does not necessarily mean that you have regret and remorse that you've done the Aveira. It does not, it's hard to find an explicit mention in the Nusach HaTfilah where you even have regret. All the entire Nusach HaTfilah is nothing more than an enumeration of the record that you have committed these sins. Okay? I've committed the sins. I'll pay the price, whatever it is. I'll pay the price. It was, you know, you want to have a good time. You want to go to a baseball game. It costs money. You want a box seat. You want a dinner. You want some entertainment. You know, you have to pay. You have to pay good money. So I had a good time this year, and I'll pay for it. I'll pay dearly for it. Where is the charata? It's not mentioned. And certainly it's not mentioned Kabbalah al he'osi. So the answer is, where is it? So it appears from what I'm reading between the lines, not only between the lines, what it says explicitly in some of the commentators is that Chazal could not do that for you. They could not add into the Nusach HaTfilah the Charata and the Kabbalah al he'osid is because not every person can really honestly say with sincerity they have Charata. Not every person can honestly say, I will never do the Avera again. I know good and well I will talk during Chazaras HaShatz the day after Yom Kippur. That's how I am. That's going to happen. Yeah?
Who says it has to be verbal?
The Rambam says. The Rambam. That is the mashmois of the Rambam. We will not be yoytzei the mitzvah according to the Rambam. And come on, 75% of Shulchan Aruch is the Rambam. The Mechaber took the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Rif, and he took the majority opinion of the three, and he passed in the Halacha, and 75% of the time, maybe even more, the Rambam is part of the majority. It's very rare where the Rambam is a minority, and we're following the Rosh and the Rif against the Rambam. So the Rambam is, you know, we live, our whole lives are built upon the foundation of the Rambam. Probably 90% of our lives. So what's going on? So the answer is, you have to do it yourself. Chazal did not do this for you. They did not put this in the Nusach HaTfilah because for most people, it's a lie. And there's no greater sin than lying in front of Hashem on the Yom HaKadosh. When you stand before Hashem on Yom HaKippurim, the Yom HaKadosh, you're going to lie to Hashem. You're going to say, Hashem, I will never speak Lashon Hara again. I will never speak during Chazaras HaShatz. I will never... whatever, you can go through every single abizrayu of every single other, I'll never do it again. It's sheker. We know it's not true. So Chazal did not want to go and make Klal Yisrael into a bunch of liars on Yom HaKippurim.
Not going to
talk. That's fantastic.
Someone said you can't do it because, you know, it's some way he's going to talk. He just can't commit himself.
Right. So they attack, right, it's exactly true. And it's very, what you're saying is very, very interesting. I know there are a lot of people that try this. I know my brother Davins in Lakewood, they've tried this, and they've had mixed results. There are definitely people who signed, and they make
do it.
And they do it. And it makes a difference. And not everyone can sign, you're right. It's they're mixed results, but it definitely, when you put it in writing, you commit yourself, you know, there's something very true to it.
The work in the Amidville Woodman, was the work.
Yeah.
The epitome of noise.
Yeah.
The noise was so loud, you couldn't hear the guy next to you talking about it. That's how bad.
So what happened?
They put out this sign.
And they signed it?
Saw people sign up. They had hundreds of names. People who signed up will try not to talk until.
Try?
We'll go with the
Blinetta. Okay.
And it worked. There's very little talking, and that's true. And you're talking about that on Shabbos could have 1,000 people.
Wow. Kol HaKavoy, that's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's magnificent. Okay, so this is but Chazal, it's very clever how Chazal, they only can do that much for you. They can formulate a nusach, but they cannot put in your mouth the words, I will not do the Avera. That is up to you. If you indeed want to fulfill what it says in the Rambam, you have to say, I will not do it again. Now, where is the Charata? So I wanted to argue with this fellow, when you clap with your hand on your chest, that's the Charata. The words of Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, that's the record. That is the record. Where do you fulfill the Rambam's demand that you express remorse? The remorse is if you go through the effort of taking your fist and banging it on your heart to say, you, the heart, you've caused me to do this. You, the Yetzer Hara, you're the one who have caused this. That is an expression of Charata. But Kabbalah al Ha'asid, it's up to you on your own. No one can do this for you because you have to really think very deeply deep down inside of you if you really do our makabel for the future not to do the Avera again. Okay, let's go to the next topic. So we... Shein anu az loy malef necha an loychot avo no avo anachnu v'avo seinu chatanu. The record, let the record speak for itself. We have sinned. Do we have regret?
I mean, you're not going and singing. I sinned.
We takadu sing it.
Right? It's not a song like you're jolly about it.
But it's not in the words. It's not in the words. The words basically is just a statement of the record. There is an inflection. There is a flavor of charata. There's no question about it. It's implied, but it's not explicit. Why is it not explicit? Because Chazal could not go so far to make many people into liars. Not every person has charata. That's a fact. People get very bitter, they get very hard, they have very difficult times with a lot of different things in their life, and they do things, because they know what they're doing, and they have their own cheshbainos, and they're wrong, and they know they're wrong also, but that's life, we all know that's how it is. Yeah.
Years ago, you're using the word liar, but years ago I was signing on to that,
that's right, you have to try.
He says, no, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I said, stop being a hypocrite. I said, you really mean it. You really try and...
It's hard, yeah, but we do hard.
We call it hypocrite.
Let me try to answer the question with another idea. I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true, but the idea is certainly very powerful. Chazal have a principle. Mitoch shaloy lishma, bal lishma. And the Rambam says it's not just b'diavet. It's a lechatchila. The only way a person in this world can come to do a mitzvah lishma is by first going through the steps of doing the mitzvah shaloy lishma. The Rambam discussed in very great detail the process of learning Torah. The Rambam says it's not possible to take a child, take a 10-year-old child, okay, you're now, we have a mitzvah to learn Torah, to learn a daf gemara l'shem shamayim. Torah lishma. The Rambam says this is impossible. You have to give a child incentives. Your learner will give you candy, will give you money, will give you this. You get a little bit older, we'll give you a good shidduch. You get a little bit older, we'll give you kavod, we'll call you rabbi. You get a little bit older, this. Maybe when you're 90 years old, maybe you if you work on it your entire life, when you're 90 years old, you'll come to a level where you can learn a daf gemara 100% l'shem shamayim. Because the neshama is so complex, you're fooling yourself by thinking, oh, I'm learning l'shem shamayim, Torah l'shma. It's not l'shma, come on. It's not l'shma. There are ulterior motives. That's the world. That's we Hashem put us in this world. There's only one mitzvah that is this principle of mitoich sheloy l'shma bo l'shma, and that's teshuva. The mitzvah of doing teshuva from the get-go has to be l'shma. There's no such thing. Do teshuva shaloy l'shma, shemitach shaloy l'shma, bo l'shma. That goes against the grain of what teshuva is. Doing teshuva means work on doing teshuva l'shma. It's an incredible concept. So that's what the mitzvah is. But it's very hard. It's extremely difficult. We all know that when we do teshuva, there's a little bit that's holding us back. That's why when Yom HaKippurim is over, it's v'hu rachum yichaper avoin. Don't fool yourself, there's more to go. We've done what we can this year, and there's a process in life to improve ourselves. So we work on it. But to outright say, nuschois in the nusach atzilah, Hashem, charata, I promise I'll never do it, I will never do it again, it's implied. Exactly. So therefore, Chazal are not going to lie. They're not going to put in the nusach atzilah, I have charata. Really have charata? If you really have charata, then how come last year you had charata? You said, how come last year you repeated the whole davar multiple times? Obviously, you were a liar last year. So just like you were a liar last year, you'll be a liar this year. You're makabel on the future not to do it? You're a liar. So, but the Rambam says you're not yoytzei the mitzvah unless you explicitly express charata. You explicitly are makabel al ha'asid. It's a problem. In the chanami, you have to do the best that you can. Perhaps privately, you should say it.
More. Being Makabal al-Hasid, you haven't had Ba'isa Makam Ba'isa Isha yet.
But let's talk about simple things. You will have. Let's talk about very simple things. Let's talk about talking during Chazaras Hashatz, talking during Davening. Here you are, Yom Kippur. You're saying, I'm a kavel upon myself that tomorrow I will not speak during Davening. Really? You really mekabel upon yourself tomorrow you're not going to speak during Davening? What's going to happen tomorrow? Someone will come over to you in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz and say just a few words to you and demand, you sure you're not going to reply back to him tomorrow? Are you really sure? I think most people will say, I really, I'm doing this the whole year. Old habits die hard. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's a lie. And especially the Chazal wholesale, to put in the Nusach HaTfilah, this is not a derech. And therefore Chazal left out these two components, even though it's critical for the mitzvahs hayoyim, is because you got to be realistic sometimes. And Enoch Hanami, the person on his own, has to know the halachas, has to work on himself. And Enoch Hanami, if you can do it, you should do it on your own. You should say explicitly, I have charata. I told you, maybe clapping al chayt, using your hand, that is mamish, an expression of charata. That's an expression. It's not a diva, by the way, but it's an expression. And Kabbalah al asid, Enoch Hanami, if you can say, there are indeed yihirat signs, and some of the machzom in the back, there are yihirat signs, when you mamish, you say, I will not do it again. There are things to find. But wholesale, to put in the Nusach HaTzvilah, in that Chazal did not go so far. They left it for you to be mashlim. Okay, let's go further. Let's run ahead. I want to try to cover a lot of ground. Let's discuss some of the Nusach, let's do things relating to the davening, to the Nusach HaTzvilah. Okay, let's talk about Shachris. I appear like hitting this different place, a lot to learn, so we'll jump around a little bit. Let's talk during Shachris. Shachris, look, we'll come back to Kol Nidre. No, I'm sorry, let's go back, right, I'm sorry, let's go back Kol Nidre. Going back further. Let's talk about Mincha, before we start being so disorganized. Let's talk about Mincha Erev Yom HaKippurim. Mincha Erev Yom HaKippurim, the meaning is to recite Vidui. Why do we recite the Vidui? So we should enter into Yom HaKippurim in a state of purity. And if we already, before Yom Kippur begins, have recited Vidui, that is ideal. Therefore, we up our game. Instead of reciting Vidui just during Slichos in the morning, we recite Vidui and all of the Al-Chaits in the Nusach of the Shemona Esrei, at the end of Shemona Esrei. So we should come into Yom HaKippurim in the state of Tara. So the question is, but we're not yet finished. We're going to first eat. And you can do many Averois when you eat, the Suda Samaf Sekes. You can speak Lashon Hara, you can not make the Bracha B'Kavana, you can do everything possibly wrong. So why wouldn't it not be better to recite the Vidui after we eat the Suda Samaf Sekes? The answer is, Chas V'Shalom, a person may get sick. A person can choke, Chas V'Shalom. A person can have complications during the Suda Samaf Sekes. And therefore, Chazal did not want to take any risks. And therefore, Chazal said, you could die ready to say the Vidui before you eat the Suda Samaf Sekes. And then, say it again. Ideally, a person should recite the Vidui after he eats the Suda Samaf Sekes, before Yom Kippur begins. We fulfill that to a degree with Tefilas Zaka, which I'm going to get to in a moment. So ideally, Chazal tell us a person should recite Vidui before, which we do during Mincha, and again after the Suda, right before Yom Kippur begins. And you can, if you want, you can say the regular Nusach of Hashem Boganu. You can say there's no harm in saying these things, or the other Nuschos Tilazaka, other Yehirat signs in the Good Machzerim, which basically express the theme of Vidui. And if a person does not have time, he can just say Chotasi or Visi Poshati, that is sufficient. Because some of the Gedolim, they would actually, the Chasam Sefer, it's well known, he would go to Mikvah twice. He went to Mikvah before the Suda Samaf Sekes, and then he went to Mikvah again after the Suda Samaf, before Mincha, he would go to Mikvah, went to Mincha, Suda Samaf Sekes, and then he went to Mikvah again. And then he recited Tzilazaka, again, another Vidui before Yom HaKippurim began. Okay, so
they say
Kol Nidre. Right, that's the ideal. That's exactly what we're saying. The ideal thing is to say the Vidui twice. Before Mincha, as insurance, just in case you run out of time. There are complications. You don't have time to say Vidui, so I've already said it before Mincha, and then you say it again after Mincha, after the Sudam Afsekes, right before you enter into Yom HaKippurim, so you should come into the day in a state of purity. Okay, now next, the next thing is, when exactly do you say, in all the Shmoneh Esrei, when exactly do you say the Vidui? Do you say it before you say Yehiyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fidu Hagin Milu Fanecha, or do you say it after Yehiyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fidu? There are different minhagim when you should say it. Some it appears hold that it's preferred to say it before you say the Yehiyu L'Ratzon. Why? Once you say Yehiyu L'Ratzon, your Shmoneh Esrei is over. When you'll then recite the Vidui will no longer have the power of being part of the Shmoneh Esrei. When a person recites Shmoneh Esrei, he is considered to be standing directly before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're not saying, after, when you're not reciting the Shmoneh Esrei, even when you're davening, you're saying Pesukei Dezimra, you're saying anything that you're saying, it's a beautiful tefillah, but it's not on the level, it's not on the level of standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam Mamash. It's not on that level. So therefore, if once a person says Yehiyu L'Ratzon, the Shmoneh Esrei is over. You're no longer Oimei Lifnei HaMelech, and when you recite Vidu, you don't get have that advantage. Therefore, many Poskim say it's ideal to say the Vidu before you recite the Yehiyu L'Ratzon. Some say no. Some say it's not part of the Nusach HaTfilah, and therefore it should be recited after you say the Yehiyu L'Ratzon. Yesh, the Yesh, in the Siddurim, they put it there, and they don't really tell you what to do. Maybe some of the students give you a choice, whatever it is. Each person should follow their minik. If you don't have a minik, the way he presents it, Rabbi Tezner, in his Sefer Shari Hayam Hanam, he says the majority opinion is to say it before you say Yehiyu L'Ratzon, so it should have the toikef, the power of being Oimei Lefnei HaMelech. How many times do we recite Vidui in total of Yom HaKippurim? 10 times. 10 times, you count the tefillos, the chazor sashatz, and when you say in the private Shemoneh Esrei, and in the area of Kippurim, and the ilah, comes out that we recite vidui 10 times over the span of Yom Kippur. 10 is a very great number. Hashem made the world with 10 amiros, that's Aseres Adibros. 10 is a very significant number to say it 10 times. In fact, it's a whole good dilemma. What? 10th of Tishrei, exactly. In fact, there's a very big dilemma. What happens if a person is not feeling well and he can't daven? I don't feel well. I'm bedridden. I do not have enough koyach to daven mincha, to daven ilah, daven musaf. I can't daven. I just can't. I can muster up enough strength maybe just to say the vidui, to say the yashamnu. So can you just say it 10 times straight? Is there an inyan of just reciting, I have 3 more times to go, I'm not going to daven anymore, I'm done, I have no koyach, I'm out cold, I'm terrible, I don't feel well, I'm going to lie out the rest of the day, I'm an oynis, rachmana patre, I'm not going to daven mincha, ni'ila, I'm not going to daven musaf. Is there an inyan of at least saying 3, or to be mashlim the number of times that you are required to say vidui, one after the other? So some say yeah. Some opinions say, yeah, there's such a thing of saying the vidui 10 times if you cannot daven. So just say it 10 times. Say the vidui 10 times. During slichos, there are different hagim. In the printed sidurim, in the machzor, in the slichos, at the end of the slichos, usually recite a vidui 3 times. The exception is Erev Yom Kippur, we only recite in the morning 1 time. Now, not everyone does that, especially if you're down in a very fast minute, they go so quickly, they don't really have time to save it once. But, and I know where I daven in Chaim Berlin, I think the minhag l'chatchil is only to say it once. They're not marich in that section, they say it slowly, and you just say it once. But obviously there is such an inyan, if you see that the printed slichot is to say it 3 times, and you say it in succession.
Right.
You say it in succession. So obviously there is such a thing of saying slichos multiple times, one after the other. Yom HaKippurim, we say a total of 10 times, we break it up over the tefillos. But if you cannot daven the tefillos, then a person should focus on saying it 10 times. Right. Well, if you daven b'yachid, you daven the Shmoneh Esrei. So then you anyway are breaking it up. Right, you're always saying it, or you're saying it, the Zohar is Hashatz. It's a very good point that if a person is davening the Yechidus, you're not going to Shul, and so you're only going to be saying it during the private Shmoneh Esrei. So what about during the Zohar is Hashatz? So in Achinami, there is such an inyan to be mashlim, to conclude the number, to make sure that when the day is over, you have said the Vidui 10 times. Okay, now, by Avinu Malkeinu also, by the way, you can say privately, once we're talking about this, we can just mention that Avinu Malkeinu B'Yechidus, you can say Avinu Malkeinu B'Yechidus. There is no harm in reciting Avinu Malkeinu B'Yechidus. There's no halacha that you say only when there's a tzibur. Yizkar, the person that cannot go to shul, you can say Yizkar B'Yechidus. There's no harm done in saying Yizkar B'Yechidus. And Adarab, it's a very important thing to say Yizkar because you're menader. You are giving tzedakah. In Zecher, Nishmas, the Neshama, you're giving tzedakah. So just because you're all alone doesn't mean you should not give tzedakah for the zechus of the Nifter. And in fact, the fact that he makes this point, one of the best things I've ever written up about Yizkar is Rabbi Tezner's Svarim. He has a nice section here on Yom HaKippur, and he has another section in Hilchas Pesach, much more elaborate than what it says over here. And that is Yizkar. A Yizkar person ideally should give the money l'zecher nishmas the neshama before Yom Tov. Person should not say bavur she ani yitain b'li neder. Person should give, write out the check and send the check into wherever he wants before Yom Kippur, before Yom Tov. And then when he recites the nusach, he should say bavur she nosati. Instead of bavur she etain, I will give, you recite bavush, I've already given. It's much, much more potent for the neshama if you have already given the money l'zecher l'ili nishmas, that particular neshama, and the person should give it before Yom Tov, and then he can say bavush and asati, and you get much more bang for your buck. That way, you have nothing to worry about. There's no kitreg. Will you give? Will you not give? Unfortunately, we all know too well that we all pledge. And how often do we truly fulfill our pledge in a timely way? So it's a very good idea to get into the habit of always giving the money before. They used to have such a thing. Shuls used to call up in advance. I don't know, a lot of shuls don't do this anymore, but they used to call. They have a committee. A really good shul has a Yizkar appeal committee, and they make an appeal for Yizkar, and they call up the Balabatim, every single person, even a week, 2 weeks in advance, and they ask them, what are you pledging? What are you pledging? And they announce it. They announce it to embarrass everyone to give money, which is a very good idea. You put pressure. But the problem is, people they pledge, unfortunately, they don't give. My mother once told me that she sat next to a woman who was really the secretary of the shul, and she said it was during an appeal, people were pledging big bucks, and she was smirking, and she said to my mother, "What a joke. I'm the secretary. All the checks come into me. I take care of the account. This is a joke. These people, I know from all the... They pledge. They don't send in the check."
On the spot?
Pikuach nefesh. Well, during the war years, the Rav Aaron Kohler of Baruch Be, Rav Aaron Kohler used to go around on Shabbos in the taxi. He would mamish mechal Shabbos before Heston. He told the people, write the check right now. It's bikuach nefesh. You can write the check right now. People are dying this moment. We need the money to bribe, to do illegal things, to save people's lives. So therefore, we need your money. Write the check right this very moment. So it's not a joke, and it's a very good thing to get into the habit of giving the tzedakah in advance. Now, once we're discussing Yizkar, let's talk a few more things about Yizkar. In the Yizkar, there are three parts. There is the Yizkar Lekimis Nishmas, and then there is the... Well, there are two parts. What are the three parts? There's the Kel Moli Rachamin. For some, there's no need to say the Kel Moli Rachamin. Okay, this is a big mistake which has crept into our liturgy, and no one knows what they're doing, unfortunately. There's no need to say Kel Moli Rachamim. The ikar is to say Yizkar. You say the first paragraph. The Kel Moli Rachamim was said traditionally by the Shliach Tzibur in honor of unique individuals who had died that year. Unique people. When people died the previous years, there were certain people that are in a class by themselves. Whoever they are, Askanim, Gedolim, Rabbanim, special people who have done special things for the community, and they merited a public Yizkar in the shul during the time of Yizkar. Everyone would start off by doing Yizkar for their family, for the family. Yizkar Elokim, you just recite the Yizkar. Finished. And then... That's on Rosh Chodesh. That's on Rosh Chodesh. On Yom Tov. On Yisgar, they didn't give him a Shoderach. Right, the Mishrach was Chos or Rav. Right. That's a right. That's a separate thing. That's not really part of Yisgar. That's a separate thing. But first, in the Nusach of Yisgar, let me actually open that over here. Now, I'm not telling you should still do it. Don't, just because I'm telling you, at least we should know what we're doing wrong. But we should still do it. Don't change what I tell you, anything that you've ever been doing. But in the Nusach, let me see if I can find it quickly. In the Nusach of Yisgar, okay, Shabbos Hagadol, Parashas Parah, Chanukah, Shalosh Ugalim. Here we go. No, all right. Give me one second. Let me hear. I apologize to you. Look in the front. Yisgar, page 314. Always good to look at the index. Never harm. Okay, here is Yisgar. He mentions all the different types of, you know, the relatives. La'aviv, le'ibay, le'karayv, le'krayva, le'krayvim, le'kadoishim, shenergu al kiddush Hashem. And then there is all of a sudden nachamal le'yachid. What is this? You just did the Yisgar. What's this? What kelmo rachamim, shoychem, bamraimim? Why? I don't know. I say them both. I say the Yisgar, and then I say the kelmo rachamim. What's that all about? Okay, you already said you're going to give tzedakah. Yisgal akim nishmas of imori shaholach le'alamay ba'avur shabli neder etein tzedakah ba'adoy. So what are you coming to aid when you say kelim olachamim sheichim ba'amremim hamsei menuchu nechoyin al-kanfei ash? What's this all about? The answer is this was all made for the shliach tzibar in honor of unique individuals to give them extra special kovay birabim. We do not do that today anymore. It's not done. We don't go single out people because there'll be a machlekes, the world will come to an end. So we don't single out people. So the truth is, the only thing that we should be saying is just the Yisgar, and this is a general, we can say a kelmole for Kedoshim. Right, so you just say the kelmole. There's no need, the Shliach Tzibur, what does he do? He says Yisgar, he says out loud, Yisgar Elokim Nishmois, that's not for the Shliach Tzibur to say. That's for the individual to say. And then, Enoch Nami, the Shliach Tzibur should only say a Kel Mole Rachamim for the Kedoshim. Or, for let's say special people, they'll say a special Kel Mole Rachamim, someone in the community that everyone's thinking about.
Some shuls have a book where people are actually in the shul.
Like some yeshivas, people give them pledges. So for El Yolam Boy, they have Bachman that come in and say Yisgar takes an hour on Yom Kippur to say all the names. Can you double up? Say can you double up? Just say Yisgar. Oh, in the city, out of to the Baltimore, the board, and says all the names. Okay, they're all different.
Hagim.
I'm not sure which one, but the original Yisgar was after the Crusade.
As Av HaRachamim. Yisgar
was...
Av HaRachamim was back before.
No, Av HaRachamim was for...
No, the Crusades. Av HaRachamim was composed by the Beis Din of Rashi. Was composed by the Beis Din of Rashi for the Kedoshim of the First Crusade. And today it has been adapted. It has been for all the Kedoshim. The truth is, the Av HaRachamim is the perfect Nusach for the Holocaust.
Yes.
For whatever reason, we have another nusach. Okay, that's how it is. The tragedy of the Holocaust is so incredible, is so massive. It's not enough. We have to have another nusach just for the Holocaust, even though it's basically the repetition. So we have for the Crusade, and the nusach of the Crusade really includes everything. It's not just anymore for the Crusade. It's for Inquisition, the pogroms, the forced conversions, and all the blood libels and the horrible things that happened in history. And then we have another nusach. But let's at least know where we are coming from. The original minig is, you say the word, the Yisgar for yourself, and the Shliach Tzibur, he then says, Akel Mole Rachamim, and for Yechidim. And you conclude with Av HaRachamim. Av HaRachamim is not only on Shabbos. Av HaRachamim is said every time you say Yisgar. Whenever you say Yisgar, four times a year you say Yisgar. The Shalosh Regalim and Yom HaKippurim. That four times a year, whenever, it doesn't make a difference if it's Shabbos. People confuse. They think that when the Yom Purim in Shemaya, that you only say on Shabbos. This year, you do not say Yom Purim in Shemaya. You don't say that. You don't say that when Yom HaKippurim is not Shabbos. If Yom HaKippurim would be Shabbos, then the minig is to say Yom Purim in Shemaya to be mispalel for the people that the Tzorchei Tzibur, people that help out the tzibur, you give them a special tefillah that was only established to be said on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, not even Yom Kippurim. So we don't say that. But Av HaRachamim has nothing to do with Shabbos. Adrav, Av HaRachamim really should not even be said on Shabbos because it causes tzar, and Shabbos is Manat Oinik. But because it's the only time when the tzibur comes together, so we have no choice, we have to say it on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, especially when it comes to Yizkor, where that's probably the best time, the most ideal time to say Av HaRachamim. Mikra Adim, we only used to only say Av HaRachamim during the months of Sivan and Iyar. Iyar and Sivan, because that was the time of the Crusades. But then we'd expand it to all of the Chodashim. But if we're already going to expand it, the first place to expand it to is going to be the time when we recite Yizkor. So when we finish Yizkor, we recite Av HaRachamim. We do not recite Yukum Purkun Min Shemai. If we would recite Yukum Purkun, we would say before Yizkor. The Zman to say Yukum Purkun. Why? In the Farshim say, the kavod for the living is greater than the kavod for the dead. Yizkor is for the dead, and Yukum Purkun Min Shemaya, Hashem should give siyata deshmaya to people who are menadev to the tzibur, is for the living. The living come before the dead. But not this year, because this year it's not Shabbos. We recite Yizkor. Yizkor has two parts. There's the Yizkor and there's the Kelmolik. The Minik Ha'olam, don't get me wrong, don't get me into trouble. The Minik Ha'olam is to say both. Everyone says both. You say Yizkor, and then you yourself will say a Kelmolik Rachamim. You'll say, why are you saying both? No one knows. It became the meaning because people are just saying it quietly, so people got confused. They started saying both. But the Iker Hadin, if you only have enough time to say one, not the other, you just say the Yizkor, because that's all they use. That's all it was meant to be, just to say the Yizkor. And the Kelmole is for the Shliach Tzibor. Everyone listens and answers Amen. It was meant for special individuals. Today, everyone gets a Kelmole. Everyone we have time for. No, all the way around.
No, it said, I mean, that's what he said.
Who, the Minhag Yisrael?
Not Minhag Yisrael, in the Oitzi Yisrael.
Oitzi Yisrael, yeah?
Yeah, he said.
Only Shoshu Golem? Fascinating.
He said it.
Okay.
Yom Kippur was just addition. It came later.
Interesting, fascinating. Because here he says, Mamish Tufaker. Because why is Yizkor so important in Yom Kippur? Because the Nesim also need Kapara. The dead, why did it? Because every year when Nesim, they go higher. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Nesim, the neshamas go higher and higher. And every time the neshama goes higher and higher, the newcomers say, what are you doing here? How did you get to this madrega? Such a high madrega. You really deserve to be here. There is din. Now, in the Kabbalah Sefarim, which we have no business looking into, it says, is that the din for the mace, for the mason, is not nearly as severe as it is the first 12 months. We don't know what this means, okay? So these are just words. We'll get to the second bit in a second. We'll come in a second. But the first 12 months, we'll come to that in 1 second. The first 12 months, the neshama undergoes din. We don't know what this means. Whatever it means. What kind of time is there in Shemayim? What does this, all of this mean? It's very, very mystical. The first 12 months, from our perspective, 12 months. Not 11 months. 12 months. A person, just because he does not say Kaddish the last month, does not mean the Neshama is not undergoing Din. The Din goes until the very end, until 12 months. We don't want to make the person like a Rasha, that he needs the Kaddish, so we don't say Kaddish the very last month, but a person should be on his best behavior in the last month and try to daven for the Amud, if he can, without saying Kaddish at the end, because the Neshama undergoes Din for 12 months. Then, after 12 months, every time the Neshama has an Aliyah, and he comes to a new madrega, there is din. But the Kabbalah Svarim say the din that it undergoes when it goes to a new madrega is nothing as severe, as harsh, as the din it underwent during the first 12 months. So there's din. And if every single year there's din for the neshamas, because the neshamas are constantly going higher and higher in Shemayim, and we need to help them. We need to take away from them any discomfort that they experience during this din, and the time to do that is Yizkor, is to pray for them and to be minadev tzedakah on their behalf. Money talks. Money can go a long way. You know, when it comes to saying Kaddish, who's already listening to your Kaddish? You look around in shul sometimes, they're fighting over the Kaddish, they're killing each other, and then you look around, Who's even answering Yehei Shmei Rav? Everyone's on their smartphone. Everyone's mind is elsewhere. So it was kedai to fight from this Yehei Shmei Rav, from this Sibur? Really? That's what you're fighting about? If you're in the Beis HaMikdash and everyone is Yehei, you buy the Sima Shas, and everyone is Yehei Shmei Rav, okay, I understand why you can fight over that. But to go fight for no one's paying attention, really? But if you give money, you feed a poor person. A poor person has pain, doesn't have what daikas, what to eat for yontif, and you go and you give him a check. Wow, that really goes a long way. Don't make any mistake about it. And certainly if you give the money before yontif begins, and you send in the check, and then you don't have to say bavur she'etin, but you say bavur she'nosati, that's gold. You've really accomplished quite a bit. Okay, so this is now, what about now, let's go very quickly. Yisko, the first 12 months. Now it's Baruch Hashem, it's not okay, people... You know, after during the first 12 months, so there are different minhagim. There's some have the minhag where they walk out. Some have the minhag where they say it the first year, and some have the minhag in the middle. You don't walk out, but you do not recite Yizkar. Now, there is no clear makar for any one of these. What exactly to do? Either to walk out, to stay. Everyone does whatever they are comfortable doing. You can learn, figure this out, Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Neshama doesn't... Don't even go there. Don't even try. You can think of different svaras, why yeah, why not, Kabbalah, not Kabbalah. Is it emotional? If a person says Yizkor, he'll come to cry. There's so much raw pain, especially for young people. And the Yom Tov, you're not supposed to be bitzar. It could affect your entire day. I know personally, I tell you personally, personal stories, I know the first year that I said Yizkor, there's a person I really, really don't like. Really, really don't like this person. You cannot imagine how much I don't like this person for various reasons that I'll never tell you. And it was Yizkor, first year, and I said it. I said Yizkor the first year that it was either my father, my mother, whatever it was. I said it. And I was like a little worked up. And then after davening was over, I walk out into the street. Who do I see walking by? My favorite fellow, my favorite person. There he is. And he made a comment to me. And I opened up my mouth and I let him have it. And I had big chayrata for every word that I said. A big chayrata, a foolish person. Why did I open up my mouth and say things that I have chayrata my whole life? Why I said to him? And I have no doubt in my mind. The reason why I lost myself was because 20 minutes ago, I was very upset. I was saying Yizkor, and it got me very upset. The Yizkor just somehow, it opened up some raw nerves, and it ended up staring my whole Yom Tov, and staring my whole life, not all the way, it ended up staring me. So I learned firsthand what it means that, you know, you say Yizkor, it shakes you up the first year. It shakes you up. So there's something to it. Maybe better, don't say Yizkor. Don't, the first year, walk out of the shul. You worried about the neshama? Don't worry. The neshama can take care of itself. The neshama doesn't need my Yizkor. It's okay. Has their own schosim to take what?
Like the first time you say Yizkor, like, let's say, there was four places that you don't say Yizkor.
The second Yom Tov, you do say that. There's so many various members of the first year. Now this, Rabbi, so I want to point out to you, is Nogeya. Even if a person, his parents passed away a very long time ago, how is it nogeya? Because there are customs, people have customs. I didn't know this, but they say Yizkor for people that they like. They have friends, Rahman Lutzon, who passed away, or they know of people that no one's saying Kaddish for. And there are people who, out of the goodness of their heart, during Yizkor, will first say Yizkor for their parents, their grandparents, and anyone in their family. And then they're going to say a Yizkor for their friend. They'll say a Yizkor for a long-lost uncle out in Chreis, and somewhere in Yehupitz, who died. Yeah, their children are probably also saying, are they not? Let me also say, there's no harm. You can say Yizkor for whoever you want. So the question is, people who have that card, they don't say their whole life. They say whatever, once in a while. Once in a while. So the question is, this is very Nogei Halacha L'Maaseh, is if a person is such a type of person, I bet Rav Meir does this, right? Rav Meir, you probably do this. You're the type of person that would do this. You would say Yizkor for certain people that you know about. What?
There's a whole list.
On the smartphone, especially young the smartphone, yeah. That tells you what to say. So So the Mesim are texting him, B'shas Maisa. You know, they have special texts for communication between the worlds.
It's
and
not direct, it's through the underground.
Direct Wi-Fi, direct communication from...
Not to keep in touch.
So the question is, this is no gea, people who are those, we know people like that, they're very good people, and they say Yizkor for people that everyone else forgets about. Should they say Yizkor the first year, the first Yom Tov? If people only talk about the Shaila when it comes to a parent. So for the first year, should they not? The first year, should they walk out, should they stay, not stay? What?
Again, why don't you say it the first year?
So there are different reasons. Some will tell you Api Kabbalah. Some will say that Api Kabbalah, the Neshama is undergoing din. The Neshama is in a different place. It's not receptive to Yizkor. What Yizkor accomplishes is only for Neshamas after din. So now is not the time that the Yizkor is going to make a difference for the Neshama. That's a Kabbalistic concept. That's not shaykh to most of us. We don't look in those svar. We don't know. We should not be looking there. People who like Kabbalah, so they go there. They go there. Okay, but others say there's nothing to do with Kabbalah. Adarabba, the neshama would be very happy if someone would say Yizkor for them. It's just that it could harm you, and it can harm the person who says it in a very bad way. Like I told you with me. I told you, especially young people, children, Rachmana Litzlan, children, they say Yizkor the first time, they're traumatized. I mean, I was a child, you know, Yizkor, you get out of shul so fast. you don't know where to hide. I think it's horrible. I'll tell you my opinion in one moment, but Yizkor...
They stay,
right.
Depends on the
island. The whole system is no good. It's really no good. The whole system has to be revamped, but what can we do about it? But the minig is children go out. So the first time a child doesn't go out, every year, you know, like Hamala's son, if someone's very sick, and they know it's coming, and then the next year, you know, the parent dies, and then the first time they're saying Yizkor, and you always wonder, what exactly do they do in shul when you go out for Yizkor? Like, what's going on in shul? What do they do? What happens up there? What happens in shul? No one. It's very traumatic. And we do not want a person to experience this trauma the first year of Avelus when his emotions are raw. We wait until the year passes. He calmed down. He's okay now. Now he can deal with Yizkor. You do something in the middle. You stay for Yizkor. But you don't say it. You stay, you don't say it. Okay, they're different. Now, I saw something which was really, really fascinating. And he writes this. He doesn't sound a source for this in our test. It really shook me up. And it's a very big, powerful limud ha-musra. I was blown away what he says. And I don't know where he got this from. He says, you know why children walk out? You know why people who don't say Yizkor walk out? It's very, very simple. Because it's not... What's going to happen? You're going to stay in Yizkor. Yizkor. So everyone now, people are saying Yizkor for their parents, the grandparents, for Kedoshim. And Baruch Hashem, there's a young person, he doesn't need to say Yizkor, Baruch Hashem. So what is he going to do? What is he going to do? He's going to open up a sefer and learn. He'll learn something. If he's not such a good guy, not such a nice guy, he'll start talking to his friend next to him. The people who are saying Yizkor will be so annoyed. This is so important to me. My mother, my father, my grandparents, how dare you sit with your head in a sefer and learn what it says in the sefer while I'm doing something that's so important to me? Just be quiet. Just sit there and watch. Don't go open up a sefer. And certainly don't go talk to your friend when I'm saying Yizkor. It's because of the disrespect. They don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm not saying Yizkor, so what do you want from me? How am I supposed to really be sensitive to your needs? How do I know? I'm just looking at the sefer. I'm just talking to my friend when you're saying Yizkor. So the people don't realize, but to other people, it's very emotional. It's very emotional. So because of the perceived disrespect that the people who are saying Yizkor are going to have for the people who are they're going to perceive that these are not having respect. So therefore, the minhag is get out. Get out of the shul. So when the people who say Yizkor should not feel insulted when other people are not paying attention. Now, why did that blow my mind? Because if this is taka true for Yizkor, al achas kam v'kama, how many times do you have when people, public speakers, between mincha and ma'arif, people, they get up and they spend hours preparing the drasha, hours, and the people right in front of the one who's giving the drasha, between mincha and ma'arif, he sits there with the sefer, the sefer. And mamash, right in front of the speaker. I mean, it's disgusting. The disrespect is just awesome. So you'll say, well, what do you want from me? I can't. Everyone has an excuse. I can't concentrate. You know, it's not fair to me. It's a captive audience. You want me to walk out? To walk out is even more disrespectful, which is taka true. Walking out. You know, the mass exodus. There's a very famous story with one of the biggest Russia yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And when he gave shir, the minhag was, he gave shir in the base medrash mamish, not in the classroom, in the base medrash. So the bachrim, you know, they didn't really like his shir. It was very boring, very long, very boring. So when the Rosh Hashiva gave shir, there was a mass exodus. Yeah, 500 people in the base medrash. It was a stampede. When the word went out, the Rosh Hashiva is about to enter to give shir klal. It's like the plague. The plague has arrived. There was a mass exodus. So there's a new bacha who didn't even know who the Rosh Hashiva was. You know, the Rosh Hashiva was ready, was a zokain, and they had a, you know, someone, an administrator did admissions. He didn't really know who the Rosh Hashiva was. And all of a sudden, there was a clap, shir klali in 2 minutes. So there was a stampede to get out. Everyone ran out. So this new young bacha, why is everyone running? The Rosh Hashiva's getting shir. You want to be caught? You want to be caught here? Sit over here for an hour and a half. So the excitement overtook him. So he ran out. As he runs out of the Beis Medrash, the Rosh Hashiva's walking in, and this bachur, his excitement ran him over, knocked down the Rosh Hashiva. So he picks him up, the Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Hashiva says to him, "Where is everyone running? Where is everyone running?" So the bacha says, "Don't you know? The Rosh Hashiva is giving shir." Yeah?
Well, having Yizkor, I had a very unique situation. My father was nifta the first day Sukkos. The Leviat was Chalamoe. And I didn't sit shiv until after Simchas Torah. So the Shaila came up on Shmini Atzeres. Do I say Yizkor or not?
Correct. What about Kaddish? What do you mean about Kaddish? Let me ask another Shiloh. What happens if a Chamonelot son, a person dies right before Yom Tov, and they don't have time to do the funeral, and the kavur is going to take place in the Chol Hamoed or after Yom Tov, whatever the situation is, or during Shabbos? Right? Let's say right before Erev Shabbos. There's no Avelos on Shabbos. There's no Anilos on Shabbos. Shabbos, the person has died 5 minutes before Shabbos. The Shabbos is a regular Shabbos, at least Bithar Hesed. He comes to shul, he davens, he can even learn. I mean, the whole Shabbos, learning, whatever. But basically, it's a regular Shabbos. Should the children recite Kaddish before the funeral, before the burial?
What's the problem?
So there is no problem. So most Rabbanim will tell you yes.
Yes.
No harm done. You can and you should recite the Kaddish. Now, if you're going to recite the Kaddish, al achas kama v'kama, there's no reason why you should not recite the Yizkor. Unless you follow the minhag that the first year, for whatever the various reasons are, pi Kabbalah, or due to an emotional reason, you don't say Yizkor the first year. But l'chara, there's no difference. There's no difference. If you can say Kaddish, you can certainly recite the Yizkor.
In Mukas, they say it's right away. Mukas Eleza says the neshama needs more Rachma Shemayim during the first year. So you do
recite. Right. That's what we say. Al pi Kabbalah. That's the different hagim. Some say Puk Fakeret. There are different minhagim. We're not going there. It's either a Kabbalistic union or it's an emotional union. Whatever it is, it is. The minhag is to walk out. And okay, for the minhag is to go out. They did this to the young Israel, and I really, really resent this. I really feel it was wrong. It's none of my business, though. Is that they have a yiskar for the kedoshim and for the chayolei tzva hagana li Yisrael who neragu al kiddush Hashem defending Eretz Yisrael, and they make an announcement: no one should dare leave the shul until we recite the yiskar for the kedoshim and for the tzahal, and then everyone should leave. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do, but the way it was done, I saw like it sounds good on paper, and Adarab, you have to do it at some point in time, but it created among the people who go out, both young and old, people who Baruch Hashem are parents, elderly parents, young and old, a very, very uncomfortable situation, because they would stay, and after they would say in a very solemn tone the yiskah for the kedoshim and for the tzahal, then okay, everyone go out. Everyone who needs to go out, go out, and everyone felt like they're being watched. Whether they're watched, no one really cares. We all know that it's just the world of make believe. No one's looking at you. No one cares. Everyone thinks about themselves, but still, people have sensitivities, and they feel like it's an ayin hara. Like, I'm walking out now in front of the whole shul. Everyone is looking at me. People who need to leave for yiskar, to fulfill the minhag, to leave for yiskar, like to leave discreetly. It's not a good thing they should march out in public eye. I Baruch Hashem, parents, and everything is good by me, and it's all you people over here, you're the ones who are suffering, you're the ones who lost parents. It's a very, very uncomfortable thing. People do not like it. They have the ultimate respect for the kedoshim, for the tzahal, but it has to be done in a way that you have some sensitivity for the living. We say Yukum Purkim Min Shemaya before we say Yiska, because the kavod of the living comes before the kavod of the mason. So all of these ideas are very nice ideas, but it has to be done with sensitivity for the living. And it depends on the shul, of course. It depends on the configuration of the shul and the situation. You cannot generalize. What will work, will do wonders in one shul, is not going to work wonders in another shul. Everything depends. You know, when the speech is, when this is, there's a time when you can do yiskar during the davening that would not make people feel uncomfortable. It just has to be properly cheshbin, thought out how to do it. So there is, but it's very fascinating. Yiskar really is a whole world in and of itself. There's a lot more to discuss. We've discussed quite a bit. Let's just go a little further. Yeah.
There's a great respect for yiskar among the non-from
people. That's the non-from people.
The only time
they come to shul. But the truth is, they don't need to come for yiskar either. They don't need to come. Yeah. What? To light candles. Okay. So you want? Okay. Rabbi Sai. We'll take a break in a few minutes. But let's discuss now lighting candles. Okay. You want? He asked the question about what about the halacha with regard to lighting candles. So the truth is, yardside candles. So the truth is, the minhag is that every person should really light 3 yardside candles. Okay, what is that? 3 yardside candles before. Now, I be very safe. Safety first. You can't be safe and light nothing. Okay, safety first. Don't put yourself in a sakana when it comes to yardside candles, which can indeed be a very big sakana. What are 3 candles? There's such a concept of lighting a candle just for yourself. On Yom Kippurim, Kiner Elokim Nishmas Adam, your neshama. There is such a principle. I don't know if everyone does this, but it's brought down all of the Svarim that a person should light on Yom Kippur a ner for himself. I know in Torah Vedas, they have a table, a big table in the front. For safety purposes, don't light it on the front. Everyone comes and brings a candle, and they light a yardside candle that will 24 hours to light for themselves. They bring it to the shul. It's for your neshama. What is this? I have no idea. It's Kabbalah. This is tradition. There's a ner for yourself. Number 2, your person should light a ner for yiskar. For yiskar. How many neres do you light? There are different minhagim. Most people that I know, they only light 1 candle. They light like 1 yardside candle for yiskar. Who is that yardside candle for? Everyone. For both their parents, for their grandparents. They don't I don't know, but does anyone here light multiple candles for Yahrzeit candles?
Yes. Yes.
And Yiskar?
Yes. Four candles.
Why do you light four? Parents?
For my parents or for my wife?
Wife's parents. Okay, all right. Not for the grandparents. We don't light for the grandparents. Four. So anyone here light four?
Four.
I light for two for my parents and uncle. My wife lights for one.
One from my father. Okay. So there are different hagim by sight, whatever it is. Okay, let's just discuss. Okay, there are different hagim. Let's assume now you light one. The minimum minig is to light one candle. For who? The husband's family, the wife's family, for mother, father, grandparents. One candle is enough. It's Yiskar. It's not the yard site. The yard site you light individually. It's not the yard site. It's Yiskar. Yiskar is just a general haskara for the neshamos. One candle is for everyone. For the husband's parents, the wife's parents, grandparents, some have a different... I'm not telling you, don't do whatever I'm just telling you what the different... Some have... No, they lie to everyone. You could end, there's no end to it. So you can lie at least four, and one of the grandparents, why this grandfather, not that grandfather, why this uncle, that uncle, before you turn around, it's kind of... Right? What's going on over here? Okay. Oh, then maybe there's a need to light bedafka for that person. Has yard side.
No,
does
he do the Yom Kippur?
No.
You do it for Yiskar, for everyone else, for Yiskar, whoever's included in Yiskar, and then there's the yard side. So you light another candle. What?
You say two times Kaddish? What? You have two yard sides in one day.
You have no choice. What are you going to do? If you have two yard sides on one day, you ask a very tough question. It might very well be that you should only say one Kaddish at a time for one person. You should not mix. When it comes to Kaddish, as Moshe holds, and everyone agrees with Moshe, is that you don't say a Kaddish for more than one person. You only say Kaddish, for one person at a time. There are people...
And
a person overlaps. It overlaps. That's why Moshe holds that a person is paid. There are people that pay and don't say Kaddish, but may pay people to say Kaddish. A person who's been paid to say Kaddish should not say Kaddish. Should not say Kaddish more than two people. Why? Because you only have, you're being paid to say Kaddish, you only have to say Kaddish, Vikar Hadin of Moshe holds, once a day. You don't have to say all three tefillos. Only once a day is enough. And if you're being paid to say Kaddish, so you can, one tefillah you'll do for one person, and the other tefillah for another person, don't take upon yourself a third person, because it's inevitable you're going to miss. Not every person, you cannot be makabel to take someone else's money to say Kaddish every single day, because it's going to happen that you're going to miss one of the three tefillahs. So if you're saying only for one person, you're saying all three davenings, wonderful. Okay, if you miss a shachris or a mincha or a maariv, so you have the other two to back you up. But if you're going to be saying already Kaddish for two people, you're really coming very close. You have to say one tefillah for one person, another tefillah for another person, and then the third tefillah is insurance, just in case you miss mincha, so you have a ma'arif to say Kaddish for the other person that you're supposed to say Kaddish for. That's how much other parts can say, you can be mekel, you can say one Kaddish, can include many neshamas. These are Kabbalistic things which we really do not understand, we have no connection to, whatever it is, it is. Okay, but going back to the yard side candle, let's finish up. We have, the person should really light three candles, one for himself. Every person, a woman also can light. I don't know if women do it as much, but you light for yourself, for your neshama, for your own neshama. Number two, you're lighting in honor of Yizkar. Number three, ner sheshavas. Okay, let's discuss this. When Yom Kippur is over, we make Havdalah. It's a very unique Havdalah. We say Havdalah, there's no Hinekel Yeshuasi, it's not Motzei Shabbos. You only say Hinekel Yeshuasi, Yavtach, only Motzei Shabbos. This year it's not Moitzoy Shabbos, so you do not begin with Hinei Kel Yeshuasi. Not that I know of. Maybe, as far as I know, you don't say it. Right. So over here he says you don't. I'm trying to think what they do. In Chaim Blue, because there they make a very elaborate Havdalah. I don't remember. I really don't remember what they do. You don't. So only when it's Moitzoy Shabbos. Oh, but here's it. You start with Boirei Pri Hagafen. And then you make Boirei Me'orei Ho'esh. Now the reason why you make Boirei Me'orei Ho'esh Motzoi Yom HaKippurim is not the reason why you make Boirei Me'orei Ho'esh Motzoi Shabbos. Clarify, it's a very important halacha. Motzoi Shabbos, the reason why we make the bracha Boirei Me'orei Ho'esh is to thank Hashem for the discovery of fire. Hashem inspired Adam HaRishon to rub two stones together on Motzoi Shabbos to bring forth fire. in honor of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting the thought in the mind of Adam to do this, and Adam succeeded in doing this, and he brought forth fire in this world, every Mitzvah Shabbos we make the bracha Boirei Me'oirei Ho'ish, and therefore Mitzvah Yomtif, we don't. If it's a Yomtif, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Sunday, whatever it is, you don't make the bracha Boirei Me'oirei Ho'ish, because it's not the anniversary of the discovery of fire. Now Yom HaKippurim this year is the middle of the week. So off the bat, you would say, so there's nothing to talk about. You don't make the bracha, there's no need to make the bracha Boirei Me'oirei Ho'ish. However, Yom HaKippurim is different than all of the other Mo'adim. It's different than Rosh Hashanah, than the Shalosh Shugolim, in that it is forbidden to light fire on Yom Kippur. There is no Eichel Nefesh. It says in the pasuk on Yom Tov, Ach Asher Ye'aseh L'chol Nefesh Hu Levado Ye'aseh L'chem. There is no prohibition of Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moish Lo Seichem B'yom HaShabbos on Yom Tov. We all know you're allowed to cook. You're allowed to cook. Some people even smoke, even will light a cigarette on Yom Tov. Okay, that's a whole shayla, but there's no prohibition of Lo Sivaru Eish. So it's in the Chazal's eyes, in their opinion, it was so easy for the average person to make a mistake, and think the same way you're allowed to light a fire on Rosh Hashanah, and you're allowed to light a fire on Sukkot, so you're allowed to light a fire on Yom Kippur. It's so easy, right? What's the difference? It's not Shabbos. There's no Chiv Skila. There's a Chiv Karis if you do Malacha, but there's no Chiv Skila if you do Malacha on Yom HaKippurim. So, why not? So, in order for a person to recognize that Yom HaKippurim is different, Yom HaKippurim is also the Geder of Shabbos, especially the fact that you anyway cannot eat because you're not allowed to eat. There's no eating on Yom HaKippurim. It is also to light a fire on Yom Kippur. Therefore, in order to remind you of this, what we do is we have you light a fire Erev Yom Kippur, and that fire that you light Erev Yom Kippur in honor of the halacha of the prohibition of lighting fire, it is on that fire you make Havdalah on Motzoi Yom HaKippurim, as if to show it was also to light a fire the whole day, and now it's Mutter. It's not an anniversary of the creation of fire. It's a recognition that it was usur to do so. And this fire, that when we know that, because we lit a fire before Yom Tov, to show that it was usur on Yom Tov, and now when Yom Tov is over, we sandwich Yom Tov by now making a bracha, acknowledging this fact. L'mai nafkemina, if you do not have a candle that was lit, that was specifically designated to be used for Havdalah, Me'ikir Hadin, you cannot, you don't make the bracha, you don't make Havdalah. It's called the Ner She Shavas. No, so you should not, you cannot light from a yard site, because the yard site candle was not lit for this purpose. The yard site candle, the other two candles that you lit, was either lit for your own neshama, Ner Lakim Nishma Sodom, whatever that means, it's a Kabbalistic concept, or was lit in honor of the Yizkor for the neshamas of the Mason.
It doesn't mean both.
What? Especially, what you cannot lighting came after the altar. You could definitely not make a bracha. There's nothing to discuss. So if you do not have a ner called a ner shashavas, a candle that was lit before Yom Tov, you cannot make a bracha on that candle. Even a candle that was a ner shashavas that was lit before Yom Tov, but was not lit for this purpose of making Havdalah, lichatchila should not be used. So therefore, the yard side candles that were lit in honor of the neshamas, the dead, or the candle that you lit in honor of your own neshama, they were not lit to serve as a recognition that there's a prohibition to light candles on Yom Tov. They cannot be used to make the bracha Boirei Me'oirei Ho'ish. Now the only leniency is not supposed to. Well, they, I'll tell you what they do is. What they do now. Also, I'll give you another example. If you light, let's say an incandescent bulb. It was lit the whole. It was put on before Yom Tov, but it was not lit for this purpose. The incandescent bulb was lit to provide illumination so you can read what it says in the Siddur. You didn't light it to show it is also to light a fire on Yondiv. So even that cannot be used. It has to be lichatchila designated for the purpose of Havdalah Moitzoy Shabbos. That's what the true Ner Shavas is. The leniency that Chazal say, Bidi'evet, it's only a very big Bidi'evet, is if you do have a Ner Shavas that was lit for the wrong purpose, what you can do is you can light another Ner from it. So it's not the original. You see what you're having over here? You're lighting now a new candle, and you're lighting it from the Ner that was not lit in honor of him, but at least it has the advantage that it was already lit before Yom Kippur began, and then you make Havdalah on both of them together. You make Borei Me'orei Ho'esh on both of them together.
So what's on the Havdalah?
What?
In other words, can you? What you're saying is you can take the Havdalah candle and light it from one of the
the yardside candles, right? One of the yardside candles. And together, you don't just go away from the yardside candle. You have to make the Borei Me'orei Ho'esh on a separate candle.
Source.
Together with your source. Because each one is complementing the other. The original source is Shoshavas. It indeed was Shavas, but it was not lit L'shem, the halacha, the prohibition of not lighting fire. The second one that you're lighting right now, oh, this is a new candle that's being lit to show only now that Yom Tov is over are we permitted to make a fire, but it's lacking the Maila that it was lit now for the first time. It's lacking the fact that it was Shavas. So, but when you put the two together, then Bidyeved, you have at least to a degree the advantages of both. Mitzad echad it shavas, because the first, the yardside candle indeed was shavas, but it was lacking the maila that it was lit specifically to show the halacha, that you're not allowed to light fire on Yom Kippurim. The other candle, oh, it's lit now for the very first time to show. Now we're first permitted to light fire, but we were not permitted to light fire before. Oh, but you should have shown that by lighting it before Yom Tov. I can't do that now. I don't have that ability to do that now.
Can you designate an incandescent bulb to be that?
Yes, you can. If you were to, yes. What? Halacha. This is halacha. Halacha. If you do not have a Ner Shavas, you do not say Borei, period. You don't have a period. Now, everything today is LEDs. So today we're in a lot of trouble. There are very few incandescent bulbs out there, right?
If you have one, can you use it to read also? If you designate it, are you allowed to read from it?
No, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. You know, it's supposed to be designated just for this purpose. Just for the purpose of Havdalah. I don't believe that's L'shem Kavod. No, Beferish not. That's called the Kavod Hayom. If you want to, you lit it in order to read from it, and you have another Kavanah, no, it doesn't help. It has to be lit expressly for the purpose of using it for Havdalah and Moitzoy Shabbos. So what do they do? What? Matzah Yom Kippur. And this applies also, by the way, this same halacha applies when Yom Kippur is Chal Yos B'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, you also need a Ner Shavas. The only difference is, if you don't have a Ner Shavas, you can still make a Borei Me'orei Ho'esh, because it's the anniversary of the creation of fire. But you're lacking in the other elements. You're making a bracha, but you're fooling yourself. You're making a bracha, you're only Mekayim one of the two reasons why you make Havdalah on Mitzvah Yom Kippur when it comes out on Shabbos. But in this year, let's just focus on this year, not to get too confused. This year, there is no anniversary of the creation of fire. It's the middle of the week. And therefore, the only reason why we're lighting a Ner Chazal Medet HaKana, people should not confuse Yom Kippurim with the other Moadim. You have to realize you're not allowed to light a fire on Yom Kippur. There is no smoking. There is no smoking on Yom Kippur, period. Okay, no cooking, no preparation for food on Yom Kippurim with fire. It's usher. And to show that it's different, you light a candle before Yom Tov, and the one that you light before Yom Tov, you use after Yom Tov. So Sach HaKol, how many candles are you lighting, yardside candles are you lighting before Yom Tov? At least three. You're lighting at least three yardside candles. I'm warning you, don't, safety first. Okay, don't play around with fire. Okay, it's very, very dangerous fire. Be very, you never can be too safe. People get very, very nervous when it comes to yard side care. Especially little kids in the house. Sakonis nefashis. Say, you're going out to daven the whole day. You're not going to be at home all day. Watch out. If you can't be, if you can't do it, so don't light. If you can't light, so don't light. So you'll figure out what to do. What?
The old fashioned.
If you lie, if you turn it on expressly, l'shem ner shabbos, yes.
Or you designate it's on all the time. The old fashioned.
Then no, it's not been lit. If it's on all the time, you have to turn it off and restart it. L'shem ner shabbos.
So the ner shabbos is the halacha, but the yard side is also the halacha.
What do yard side is the halacha? No, yard side is the minhag.
So yard side is a minhag.
Yard side is a minhag. Your is a minhag. Those are minhagim.
So the only ner that you're mechuyev is
ner shashavas. Correct. You only mechuyev one ner. A lot of people don't do it. They rely upon the shul. The shul will have a special ner shashavas, a good gabbai. A good gabbai knows what he's doing. He'll have even more than one. Okay. Just go out. They light it bedafka for Abdullah, and that is why you see in many shuls that when the Yom Tov is over, there's a mad rush to do Borei Me'orei Ho'esh on the shuls near Shashavas. Because not everyone at home has a real near Shashavas. They may have a yard side candle, they may have their near Neshama, but not everyone is so makbid to make the too many fires, they get nervous. They don't even have it home. They run out of their yard candles.
There's the minute said that the near Neshama be in the shul, not at home.
Right, that's very good. That's more ideal.
One at home.
That's probably more ideal because you spend the whole day in shul. And Tarva Dath have a big table on the stage, big table. The whole table is all yard side candles. And what are they? Obviously, people are lighting Yizkor candles and they're lighting the candles for themselves. Where's the Ner Shavas? You only need one. The whole yeshiva needs one Ner Shavas there and one yard side candle that's being lit l'shem. I just call it a candle, a 24-hour candle that's being lit l'shem Ner Shavas.
You said there were three.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're getting... Okay, you said yard side candle and
Ner Shavas. And a candle for your own neshama. A candle for your own neshama.
No, but you said one candle could suffice for yourself and...
No. I apologize if I led any confusion. A person, l'chatchila, should light three 24-hour candles. One candle he's lighting for his own neshama. The only time you ever do this is on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, but then all members of the household, and then you get into the multiplicity.
So then the question is, right, you're asking a very good question. How many members, the children, they don't, you never see children, you don't light a nair. You don't light a nair. Even if someone's not married, I don't think people until they're married, they don't light.
Yes, you're right.
So if it is a safety issue, then don't light it. Don't light it. It's really posh. Don't light it. It's a minug. Not everyone does this minug. Not everyone does it. And if it's a safety issue, forget it. Don't do it. It's probably safer to do it. People who do it, they do it in shul. Chaim Lin, they have 1,500 people. They don't have a table. They don't have a table there for one very simple reason. There's no room. Because every inch is occupied, and the space on a stage, they need for Birchos Chayhanim. They need for Duchani. So it's not an option. There is no way. The dining room, no one's interested in putting the candles in the dining room. I guess it's too far removed already. No one cares. But I do always see on the windowsills in the very, very front alongside of the Urna Kodesh, there's always a good, I would say, 10 candles. I would say... What? Well, they have those are the regular candles. Those are the whatever. Shul, you have electric, you have the oil, the paraffin, the liquid, whatever you have. That's a separate issue. Every Friday night, every Shabbos, that's a separate issue. What you put, that's a special minhag to have candles in front of the omer. How many? Two, three, five, some, whatever. That's a separate issue. It has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. But for the person, there's a minhag to light a ner for your own neshama. You don't have to light it in the house. It would be probably better to light it in the shul in a safe place. Then there's a minute, all of the sholosh regolim yiskar, to light a ner, at least one ner in honor of yiskar. And then there's a halacha, this is not a minute to light a ner sheshavas, it's a takanas chazal to show Yom HaKippurim is osur in Eish. It's not like the Shalosh Regolim, it's not like Rosh Hashanah, and that it demands of us to light a specially designated ner to show that it's also to light a fire on Yom Tov, and on this kindle, we light Erev Yom Tov, we're going to make Havdalah on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. If you forget to do so, and you want to use the yahrzeit candle, so then the halacha is, you take the yahrzeit candle, and you light from it another candle, and you take the two candles together. I don't think you do an avuka. I don't think you're supposed to do an avuka. You do an avuka. You don't do an avuka. You hold the yahrzeit candle, and you hold the candle that you've lit. Each one has a mila that the other one does not have. The candle that you've lit has the mila. It's been lit now for the first time to show that until now it was forbidden to light a candle. It's lacking shashavas, that it rested. The yahrzeit candle has the advantage that it is shashavas. It is shashavas. So each one, and the one that I lit from the yahrzeit candle. So you take the two together, and by taking the two together, you can make a bracha, boire me'oire ho'esh. If someone already blew out the yahrzeit candle, there is no yahrzeit candle left, or there's no candle that was lit, even let's allow the yahrzeit, any candle that was lit in honor of illumination, was lit whatever, lit for your own self, and there's nothing that's shashavas, you don't make a bracha. You cannot make a bracha. It's a bracha levatola. You cannot make a bracha. You only can make a bracha if you have at least something that was shavas, and you light from it. Or you don't have to light from it. If you take a yahrzeit candle that was lit for the purpose, that's ideal. Then you can make the bracha boirei ma'aresh. But the most important thing is safety. If you're not going to be safe, then don't light. I don't know what to tell you. Don't light and figure out what to do. Mitzvah Yom Tov. Go to someone else's house. Go to someone and figure out what to do for Ner Shavas. But it's very dangerous. If you're not home the whole day, it's not a joke. No one's home. You don't play around with fire. All right, we'll take a short break and then we'll continue.